And we are, as a people, inherently and historically
wake up.
Opposed to secret societies, the secret oath, and the secret proceedings.
The show that asks questions about why we don't ask questions.
What the hell is going on?
This is Conspiracy Queries with Alan Park. Welcome to Conspiracy Queries with Alan Park. That's me, your host, Alan Park. I have some conspiracy queries, questions about things we don't normally ask questions about. Well, the question on everybody's mind right now, obviously, the way things are going is, what is going on with Syria? Or no, wait a minute, that's not really a question on everyone's mind. That was a question a few weeks ago. Before there was a government shutdown in the United States, it was so important that we got to the bottom of what's happening in Syria. Maybe we'd have to have a war there. Of course, that's not happening because there's no money. There's no money to even put out fires on the west coast of the United States. How can we possibly have a war? Well, there's another reason there might not be a war. And how about this story from Veterans Today? Written by the senior editor Gordon Duff, as the chances of American boots on the ground in Syria disappear, burying the secrets that Syria has exposed is critical. But to whom? Never has a single conflict exposed so much weakness, duplicity, and criminality. Well, that's maybe not necessarily true. There's a lot of weakness, duplicity, and criminality in the American governmental goings-on. But anyway, back to this article. These things have always been there, but never so plain for all to see now. Chemical weapon inspectors overseeing the destruction of Syria's stockpiles cannot help but note clear indications that those stockpiles have not been touched for years. So there goes the government's official story that they were being used by Assad out the window, the fake reason for war out the window. I wish this kind of thing could have happened when Bush was sitting on what is the equivalent of America's throne. The silence of this revelation is deafening. Moreover, as it becomes increasingly obvious that Assad's forces weren't involved in chemical attacks, inspectors are now asking for Assad's forces to, through military action, gain access to the stockpile of chemical weapons held by the rebel forces. The rebel forces, of course, heavily stacked with Al-Qaeda, which is being aided and abetted by the American government. Confused? I know I am. News stories are reporting this, but they are trying very hard to hide this story in plain sight. If inspectors are demanding access to rebel areas to assess chemical weapon stockpiles, two things are obvious. They believe the rebels control chemical weapons, and they feel that only military action by Assad-led forces can secure Syria from further attacks. So good thing we didn't go invade them, huh? Wouldn't you say? Other news has it that there are meltdowns hobbling the NSA's massive data center or metadata storage center. Meltdowns of an unexplained nature. Various websites, including Fox and the Wall Street News, are reporting chronicle electrical surges at the massive new data storage facility central to the NSA spying op have destroyed hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of machinery and delayed the center's opening for a year, supposedly. Now, that's what they're saying. There have been 10 meltdowns in the past 13 months that have prevented the NSA from using computers. Good, I say, at its new Utah Data Storage Center, slated to be the spy agency's largest, according to project documents reviewed by the Wall Street Journal. Let's hope this story is true. Let's hope that that money is being wasted. Let's hope that someday it comes to light that this invasion of our privacies is not required. And one more thing I want to kick off before we go to our interview. A former Hillary Clinton associate claims to have been her personal hitman and admits to killing for money. The story the listeners are getting is that Larry Klayman was prepared to go on the Neil Cavuto show and show pictures of National Guard troops that have been assembled to squash the uprising, the truckers' uprising that's protesting the governmental shutdown. But it's also being reported that Fox pulled the interview. This is reported on the website freedomoutpost.com. Was it pulled because Klayman wanted to talk about other issues as well, including a gentleman named Larry Nichols, a longtime associate of Bill and Hillary? The accusation is that Fox does not want to share this story of the hitman that killed four Hillary Clinton. And they just wanted reports that they wanted reports about, not about being a Clinton insider who admits to being a murder-for-hire hired gun. We'll speak more about Hillary Clinton and her chances in the future of the American government right after our interview, which is coming at you right now. Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips are my guests today. I wanted them on the show earlier, but this is a perfect week because they are appearing in Toronto, which is where this broadcast comes from, this Sunday, October 20th, and you need tickets. You can get them from the great people at conspiracyculture.com, a fine bookstore. In the days when there are hardly any of those around, these guys special in conspiracy material, and you have to go there. This is a must-see event. Kathy and Mark coming to Toronto, and much will be revealed that night. And brought to you by the good people of conspiracyculture.com. And here is what we in for. This is a Talk Radio AM 640 presents a special event, MK Ultra and Project Monarch, a survivor's tale. This is a lecture. It is a Q&A. It is a meet and greet and a book signing with Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips. The books involved are Transformation of America, that's T-R-A-N-C-E, Formation of America, as well as the book Access Denied for Reasons of National Security. Along for the ride will be actress, comedian, and activist Roseanne Barr. You know her from the Roseanne Barr show, Roseanne Show, and she herself is a friend of Kathy's and also a recovered victim of mind control who has been speaking about this for many years and will be in Toronto to do it this Sunday. And she'll be speaking about how mind control is used in and by Hollywood. So in August 1977, the 95th Congress, U.S. Congress, opened hearings into reported abuses of the CIA's top-secret mind control research program, codenamed MKUltra. 11 years later, a top-level MKUltra Project Monarch victim, Kathy O'Brien, joining us today, was covertly rescued from her mind control enslavement by intelligence insider Mark Phillips, also with us today. Their seven-year pursuit of justice was stopped, as they say, for reasons of national security, which is a code word for people in high positions that are trying to cover their butts. Kathy traces the cruel, murderous world, I said murderous, of mind control on her path from child pornography and recruitment into the Monarch program and serving as a top-level intelligence agent, and White House sex slave, which I think is a great name for an album, if any band wants to get on top of that. Her definitive eyewitness account of government corruption implicates some of the most prominent figures in global politics. Are you listening, everybody out there? This is going to be a heck of a ride, a heck of a story. On the line with me now is Mark Phillips. Mark, good afternoon.
And good afternoon to you, Alan, and thank you so much for having us on your show.
I love that twang. You could only be from Nashville.
Exactly. we've had too many presidents coming out of Tennessee in the South, so most people are accustomed to this accent.
I love this accent. It's great. I think it's wonderful. Listen, thanks for being on the show. You rescued Kathy. This isn't one of those fantastic 3.5 hour kind of programs, so I'd like to get right to it. You were a successful marketing and ad executive, and you worked for two airlines in that capacity, as well as a medical equipment manufacturing company. How does one in that world come across what you recognize to be a mind-controlled slave?
specifically Kathy, and how did you put yourself in a position where you were able to help her?
Well, very briefly, I didn't want to go to Vietnam during that war, and I had expressed the same to some people that my family knew. I came from a very wealthy family, and a family that had a tremendous influence, though nobody was willing to help me stay out of Vietnam, so I did it myself, and wound up being recruited by the Defense Intelligence Agency at literally the midnight hour. So that was actually, those jobs that I held were genuine jobs, trust me. However, they were cover jobs. And what I was actually doing when I started out with the Ampex, A-M-P-E-X company.
The recording tape company?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Exactly. They invented the instant replay and had quite a military industrial contract with the military, and that included people like myself having to oversee highly classified, top secret experiments that were being done. And I will tell you this: all of them were benevolent. I never saw any torture, not even once. The things that we hear are simply the things that I heard and what you hear about the government's use of torture for getting and extracting information are 100% erroneous.
Well, I think the only torture that I can recall involving any kind of Ampex tape was the repeated ongoing loop of Casey and the Sunshine Band, but that was that was a long time ago, and I don't think it was deliberate. But anyhow...
Right. Well, you know, the torture is used to program someone. It's not used to get extract information. And I sat and watched Cheney repeat it over and over again that they were so successful in using torture, waterboarding, and a number of others that they didn't mention that was getting them all this great intelligence information at Guantanamo. That's not true.
Well, no. Well, Dick Cheney's a liar, so, yeah.
Well, yeah, say the least. Well, he's so powerful, he can shoot his lawyer and get away with it. So, my original contact with Kathy came years after I had exposure to mind control research. As a matter of fact, I worked in prisons. I worked in mental health facilities, mental institutions for the criminally insane, both here in the U.S. and in Canada. I knew for a fact that the founder of the American Psychiatric Association, a fellow by the name of Cameron, had indeed surfaced during the 1977 hearings, the Frank Church hearings that you spoke of earlier, and before Congress. Those hearings proved without a shadow of a doubt that Dr. Ewing Cameron had been experimenting with patients coming into this particular hospital, and he made the grand mistake of doing what he did, whatever it amounted to, probably high voltage and drugs, to the wife of a very prominent fellow in Canada who was involved with, he was a high-ranking politician. I can't think of his name right at the moment. And that's what the hearings, that's how it was able to surface. Well, the government, we've had now, what, seven presidents claim that we aren't going to do that anymore, and it's still being done. Of course, mind control is a sliding scale, and the level of mind control that Kathy O'Brien and her daughter, six-year-old daughter, was experiencing was the worst. It's not even necessary. That's why I had trouble believing it when I first heard it. It's called trauma-based mind control. That's thousands and thousands of years old. In a French cave, there's a pictorial that is one of the oldest that's ever been found. It predates the Egyptians, and it shows exactly how to take external control of another person's mind.
Let me just jump in here. Is that the same kind of technique that has, when you describe it, it brings up in my mind trauma-based mind control, something of the nature of the invasion of Iraq, where they called it shock and awe, or a spectacle such as a 9/11, where you're seeing the disaster of the explosions happening over and over and over again on television.
Yeah.
Is that a logical extension of what you're talking about?
That is a logical extension. And, you know, I recall when Kennedy was shot, I think every time that I walked past the television set, there he was getting shot again. I mean, I don't know whether the tens of thousands of times that they aired that they were attempting and did quite well, and they found out it worked very well. Even the Germans knew that would work well back when Heinrich Himmler was working with mind control for Hitler. Yes, it does have an impact, and yes, I can remember exactly where I was standing at the moment that I first learned that Kennedy was shot. I can remember exactly what I was doing when I saw a jet airplane hit one of the Twin Towers. As a matter of fact, I saw it live. I just happened to be watching the news when it happened. The facts remain that trauma will instill a permanent memory in your head, and it will be photographic. So Kathy's memory was easy from that standpoint to recover, mainly because she hadn't been to see any doctors or anyone else. She had no idea. Matter of fact, when I rescued her, she didn't even know her full name. She didn't know how old she was. She had no idea where she'd been. And this rescue all came about because I had started a joint venture company with the People's Republic of China manufacturing large capacitor banks, because they were having trouble meeting their energy needs to keep these plants running. You know, you can't shut down a mine or a glass plant or a steel plant because it costs so much to restart it. By the time they would get it restarted, they'd have to shut down again. So they needed help, and capacitors was one area that would greatly help them. Since I was working with the Chinese in the mining, anything made out of metal is under the military's control. And when at the ribbon cutting ceremony in 1987 in China, I was approached by a Chinese intelligence officer, and he opened up a briefcase, and then he began thumbing through a file, showing me first everything they knew about me, which was absolutely a very high security breach. They had interviews, it looked like, on original stuff. I'm not talking about copies. These things had been stamped, and you could see the age of the paper. They were quite old. That meant the Chinese had access to my original files, the hard copies.
Now, are some of these things what are available in the book, Transformation? You've got reproductions of official documentation in that book.
Yes, there's some of it in there. The point I'm making, though, is that they were, I thought they were just trying to weasel me out of the way, since I'd done all the legwork and put the company together and gone out and sold, I think it was around $15 million worth of capacitors, just so that the Chinese government is unlike us. They have to sell as much as they buy. It's just a rule in their constitution. That's when I was learning about my partner in the United States, who introduced me to this concept, whom I did not know, but I met him through a mutual friend.
This is Alex Houston.
Mm-hmm. Alex Houston.
Country music / ventriloquist performer.
Yep. That's correct.
Is he still alive?
Unfortunately.
Okay.
Yes, still alive. And sometimes these guys, they're the ones that go last. But nevertheless, I was shown pictures of Alex Houston having sex with a young Haitian boy. And I was also shown other pictures, graphic pictures, of what he was involved with as far as the child pedophilia goes. And in China, the guy, the intelligence officer told me, he said, everything that Mr. Houston is involved with, and that includes white slavery, child and adult prostitution, and he said, and money laundering, and he sells drugs.
How has he avoided some kind of arrest and or prosecution in a day where so many people are arrested for such things? Priests, various other people have gotten themselves into severe... Are these people running in a certain circle where they have an official protection base?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, our head of U.S. Customs at the time... I had some inroads in with U.S. Customs at the intelligence aspect of it, particularly for Far East enforcement. And Customs worked with us very diligently and was able to provide, we were providing them information, and they were getting the proofs of it. Well, when the head of Customs, and you know that's an appointment by the president, the head of Customs, Von Raab, was presented this information, he went on public television and resigned. He said he could no longer work in the capacity as head of Immigration and U.S. Customs and be fighting his own government. He said, this is not a war on drugs that we're in. He said, it's a battle of wits or something to that effect. But anyway, he resigned his position because of the information that we had, Kathy had remembered. And frankly, a lot of it we got out of Alex Houston's safe. We won't go into that, but nevertheless, we had hard copy to prove what we were saying, including hidden bank accounts in the Caymans and other places. These are all protected by what we call the black side of the CIA. The CIA has been responsible for probably turning loose more drug dealers than any organization in the world. That's why so many people with Customs now and Immigrations as well are so frustrated when they're out there fighting and actually catching these people in various illegal acts.
Well, that's not really
lock them up.
That's not really hard to
they
get.
Turn them loose.
It's not hard to get your head around that, though. I mean, if the CIA through programs like Air America was bringing into the country inside of body bags after and during Vietnam illicit drugs, of course they're going to need dealers to deal them.
Yep. Well, Alex Houston was picking stuff up, and he was picking up, I suppose, the largest shipment that I'd have to guesstimate it. Based on the size of the vehicle, I think it was somewhere around about 200 kilos, which would have been about a quarter of a ton that he was bringing in a motorhome from South Florida. He was bringing that into the country music industry. And, of course, they had their own people. The country music industry was a great place to do it, to sell it. You of course, know that whether it's in Hollywood, whether it's acting, or whether it's music, whether even sports teams, everybody was involved in either using drugs at that time or mind control, and it was considered a cash cow by the black ops.
I don't think a show like Hee Haw would have able to have come about without drugs, but. Let me ask you something. In your book, you detail transformation. You detail that Alex Houston, along with all of these other horrible things that you're now describing for us, was Kathy's handler.
Yes.
And now there is also Senator Byrd, who was her owner. Now, what is the difference between a handler and an owner in regards to a mind-controlled sex slave?
A handler merely programs their charge for doing whatever they want them to do. In this case, Byrd, for instance, when he wanted her in or around Washington D.C., Alex Houston would make sure she was there, and whatever he wanted to do with or to Kathy, he was a really sadistic person. based on all accounts that we've been able to determine. Of course, you know, the Ku Klux Klan put him in office in 1952. I mean, he was in office, 5 years before Kathy was even born. But he was her owner, and he pretty much directed Alex Houston and told him where she needed to be. And that was his role.
And when you say owner, is there a literal cash or credit transaction as a commodity?
Must be, because Kathy's father was a worm digger in Michigan, and he with a large family, he began making pornography of Kathy, and apparently it got caught up. It was caught by a U.S. mail inspector, and her father was facing literally years and years of prison time when he was offered a deal to sell her into the CIA's project, and in return, the guy became extremely wealthy. He became the senior vice president for a camshaft company that supplied all the camshafts for replacements and all military equipment vehicles. So, I mean, it was an unbelievable deal. I met him on a couple of occasions, and I didn't find him to be particularly intelligent. I think the worm digging thing was about his limit. But nevertheless, he did have that job, if you want to call it that, and the luxury of all the money that came with it.
Of worm digging.
Yeah. No, from selling candy. No, I don't know how profitable. I think worm digging is about as profitable as being an author and publisher of two books.
Yeah, sorry, I have to make light of some of this stuff at times because it is so disturbing. Let me ask you this. There have been situations that have been denied and then later admitted to. I'll give you an example. Operation Mockingbird, where the CIA was involved in shaping and allowing certain stories to drift into the public awareness through the major news networks and newspapers. This, we have been led to believe, is no longer the case. But if you look around, I'm sure it has only intensified and gone more secret. As well, the military claimed they were involved, reluctantly admitted at one point they were involved in remote viewing, but they no longer do that anymore. I happen to think and have spoken with people where that, in fact, still goes on under the cloak of just a better secrecy than they were able to engender initially with the program. As far as Kathy's sex slavedom is concerned, thankfully she and her daughter are free and no longer in those clutches. What can you tell me about today regarding sex slaves? Are there people like a Senator Byrd? Are there entertainers like an Alex Houston who are currently actively involved with doing the same thing to people? Now, I know you've got the internet now, so passing messages is different than it was back in the day when Kathy was being shuttled around. But do you know of anything of that nature? Can you name names? And if not, are we getting into the national security cloak, the oath of secrecy that you have unfortunately had to swear to uphold?
Well, the only thing that I can't talk about, or I can't mention names of people I worked with, unless those particular files have been declassified, some have. At the time, though, that our book was written, they were highly classified. As far as what is being done these days, Alan, understand this. I'm not a save-the-world type guy. I really believed in what I was doing was going to be saving lives and minds when I did work with the intelligence community, and so did the scientists that I worked with. For the most part, I never heard of anybody suggesting that it could be used in a manner which it can be now and is. And the reason that I became involved is because when I heard the words trauma-based mind control, it was I knew I was dealing with a psychopath. And then when all of a sudden, when they're telling me that he goes all the way to the White House, and I'm talking about the Chinese explaining that to me, I thought, surely to goodness, this can't be real. I mean, my goodness, we got psychopaths in the White House, and all in the chain of command all the way up. It just didn't make any sense. And then what really didn't make any sense is Alex Houston, who is not exactly an intellectual challenge to Kathy's worm digger father, to even envision him being involved with the CIA, for instance, in very serious operations, just seemed so far-fetched, I couldn't buy it until I found out it was absolutely true. I found out through cooperative intelligence people. So when I found this out, and I already knew that Kathy and her daughter were PTSD, probably two of the worst cases I've ever seen, and I'd seen quite a few. The fact remained is I could not, in any good conscience, just walk away from it, and I had to do something. So I contacted, out of ignorance, I contacted the Department of State and asked them to please file a report. I need to talk to somebody because there had been a huge security breach. And when that happened, I was told to shut up, forget it, it never happened. And when I heard those words and the fact that the poor woman and her daughter were being abused, literally had been abused out of their minds so that they could be used as prostitutes, Alan, you would have done the same thing if you had been in my position. In other words, anybody with a social conscience would have done the same thing I did. I fortunately happened to be armed with a whole lot of information, and I used that information to trigger Kathy out of her existence, because people under mind control are not aware that they're under mind control. That's called abuse. If they start talking about, hey, I'm being mind controlled, here's what they're doing to me, stop right there. If you're under mind control, you have no capacity for knowing it. It's impossible for you to know it. It's just like I said, it's abuse. So when Kathy found out that she was under mind control, she found out all on her own, because I would ask her only questions like, how old are you? And she would tell me, 24. That was always the age, 24. I said, oh, really? I said, can I see your driver's license? I looked at the driver's license. I said, look at the date on this driver's license. I said, could they have made a mistake, perhaps? And I said, do you have a birth certificate? She said, yes, I do. I said, well, can I see it? Yeah. So she showed it. I said, well, are you still convinced you're 24 years old? Because at the time, she was 30. And she just started from that point on. That was a thread to follow. I was paid a compliment by a Canadian, by the way, who is the foremost authority on dissociative disorders and mind control from a clinical standpoint. Matter of fact, he's Roseanne Barr's personal physician, and that's Dr. Colin Ross. He's written many, many books on exactly what you and I are talking about right now. And I was in constant touch with Colin Ross when he was doing his initial research. He was fascinated by it, and he wanted to do something about it. He's a brave, brave man. But Dr. Ross had indeed paid, he thought, me a compliment when he said I was the world's greatest deprogrammer he had ever known. Well, I took issue with that. I said, Dr. Ross, that's not what it is. I'm not a deprogrammer at all. There's no such thing. I said, only the person can deprogram themselves. And you can't ask them, did Daddy do this to you, or did you, you know, you're placing the suggestion in their highly suggestible minds where they'll agree to anything. And also you've hurt them horribly, in putting bad information in their head. So, the person, once they are structured to understand what they need to do, like if you see something if something triggers you or you have a flash of a memory, jot it down and then later write it out. And, Kathy is going to get into that on her part of this show.
Okay.
And That's how it's done.
I'm speaking with Mark Phillips. He is recognized by mental health and law enforcement internationally as a credible authority on the secret science concerning external control of the mind. He held a Department of Defense top secret security clearance while exposed to various classified behavioral modification projects. Just before we get Kathy on the line, you mentioned before about speaking with the State Department in a way of getting help. And again, I'm projecting from back in those days into the future. The State Department, even CBS News, the mainstream outlet, has recently uncovered documents showing the State Department may have, you always have to put that in there, may have covered up allegations of illegal and inappropriate behavior within their ranks regarding rape and drug rings and prostitution and the targeting of whistleblowers. So I don't know how much of a friendly atmosphere you're going to get into looking for help from those people.
Well, and another thing, I wanted to clarify a question that you had asked previously where I drifted away from it, and I'm thinking you were asking about what sort of mind control applications or equipment is being used today.
Absolutely.
To give you an example of how progress is made, are you familiar with HAARP in Alaska?
I am familiar with it.
Okay.
H-A-A-R-P.
Are you aware that that equipment had the capacity to create apathy, create all sorts of emotional things in human beings over a widespread area?
Well, who cares about that?
I'm
just kidding. No, absolutely. I had no idea it could trigger a mood response. No.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You could watch it on that meter that they had on the Internet that the state of Alaska's university there had. And Dr. Nick Begich ensured the fact that it was staying up. Well, guess what? There is no more HAARP. They haven't dismantled the array of antennas, but they've completely removed all the equipment out of all that building mass they had up there. And HAARP has been shut down around the world. And people say, oh, this is wonderful. Their conscience must have bothered them. No, they came up with something better, and I don't know what it is.
No, you don't know what it is. So they're doing the same thing now, but without these high-powered antenna arrays.
For less than $150, I can produce a device that will fit in a briefcase, and I can get the stuff not from military surplus, but I can get it at Radio Shack, and put this device together. And what it will do is it will stop your ability to logically reason. I could hand you a list of four numbers, like 2, 4, 6, 8. Add them together and tell me what it is. You could not do that if you were teaching math at a local university. That sort of equipment we understand it very well. And matter of fact, here in the U.S., they had to pass a law against anyone using that equipment in court.
I was about to say to take something like that into a traffic ticket trial and confuse the judge would be some kind of fun.
Absolutely. Or have the witness on the stand impeach themselves. That's what they normally used it for. And to pass a law against something the government denies even exists, except the U.S. Patent Office, will show you there have been hundreds and hundreds of patent applications come in on that type of equipment. I used it as a burglar deterrent in my house before I ever met Kathy. It wouldn't affect my dogs. It wouldn't affect, I had a police officer that pretty well maintained. He knew where to turn the thing off. But if you walked in my house and you were of a certain height, you wouldn't even know why you were there. You might check the refrigerator out and get something to eat or something to drink, but you're going to just sit down. You're not going anywhere.
Mark, what is the name of this device? What do you call this thing?
It's an electromagnetic. I used to give the plans out. I received the actual plans that went to that this one fella had put out to get patented, and all he did was get a patent pending. It's an electromagnetic pulse device that You can take outside, and if you see a flock of geese flying over, you can point it at them, and they'll go in every direction except in a bee. That was the first demo that I had ever seen using it. But I have since found out, although it doesn't give you any lasting permanent damage by any stretch of the imagination, it nevertheless is a very dangerous device. And I, in retrospect, I wished I hadn't told so many people about it, but I was hoping to inform the public so that it would stop being used.
So this is what you're saying is now
this type of thing. Ancient history. Who knows what they've got now, other than the fact you're hearing all of these complaints, and I am too, from people who are, they claim to be targeted individuals. Of course, I wonder why they're being targeted, because they're not being experimented with. Experimentation is, I mean, that's decades old. They know what they're doing. And if somebody is not a part of the intelligence community or a part of some secret organization that they want kept quiet, I have a hard time understanding why they're targeted. I did an interview a targeted individual that I knew for a fact that the place that he was had been incarcerated in was one of the CIA's model places for mind control experimentation. I know this because I was there, and nobody was getting hurt. It's just that this person was hearing voices, and he was identifying the people who the voices belonged to. And come to find out, after about 2.5 years of searching around as covertly as I could, I was able to validate this guy completely. That was unnerving. Not as unnerving as finding out that Kathy and her daughter were being used as sex slaves and didn't even know their own names from the tortures. But nevertheless, to see this kind of thing go on, you've got to be a psychopath to do these things to other people.
Well, it seems we have no shortage of a supply of them as far as governing the world is concerned. The thing that concerns me greatly about all of this is that now you mentioned that so many of the things in your book at the time were not necessarily corroborated, and now over 130 separate points
or more
have come to light. And despite that, so many people that would even come across your book would either discount it out of hand as soon as they read the back cover, or if they do bother to read the book, ignore the import of the ongoing situation. And I'm wondering, is something like the HARP replacement that you're alluding to or some other technique being used to lull people into a state of either, just disbelief or apathy? I mean, people just seem to be running around with their three jobs trying to make ends meet in a world where we're governed by banksters that put us in a position where we need three jobs just to make ends meet. And they don't want to get into the kind of information that you and Kathy bring forward. But is there some method that you're familiar with that?
I am. It's called social engineering. It began in earnest in 1949. When Dulles, who was head of the newly formed CIA, was informed that an Operation Cinderella had indeed, which was the name that they had attached to this particular operation, of infiltrating all of the major news organs, including television, which was very scant. I think there was one big, NBC out of New York was the first one, I believe, was the big one, but they had actually infiltrated and set up all of the major news media organs, such as the Washington Post and the San Francisco Chronicle and L.A. Times. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And when that was reported back, that was the very beginning of the social engineering. Of course, the government made sure that everybody realized that secrets are a very good thing, because look, if we hadn't had the atom bomb and making it underneath the bleachers of a football field, we really would have lost the war, and you would either be dead or speaking German. So you see, secrets are a good thing. And the people just absolutely rejoiced. They said, yes, by far, yes. So in 1947, they passed the law, the National Security Act, which most people don't realize it, but you are Canadian, and you too, because your country has a peace treaty with the United States, you are subject to the same laws I am under the National Security Act. They can come in any time without any reason, without any court trial, without any reason other than the fact we have a peace treaty, and stop you from saying anything they don't want you to say. But, of course, like you say, most people have a problem because it's outside their paradigm, outside their realm of experiences, and outside their understanding that there are that many psychopaths running around. They just quickly discount the information. This is very sad. But thanks to people like you and your show, this kind of information is getting out to enough people, because now we've reached, without our spending any money on advertising, which is illegal for us to do, we've reached somewhere in the neighborhood of around 90 million people worldwide.
And I'd encourage as many people listening as possible to come to Trinity St. Paul's United Church in Toronto, 427 Bloor Street West. That's near the Spadina subway station. The event is, doors are opening at 2, and it's an all-afternoon into the evening, ending at around 7 or 8 o'clock. $15 tickets. Purchase them at conspiracyculture.com or call them and use your plastic at 416-916-1696, or get a hold of them on the net and use PayPal. Let's bring Kathy on the line. Kathy is a victim, but has fortunately overcome her recruitment into the Monarch program, the Monarch mind control program. How are you today, Kathy?
I'm doing well, and I certainly appreciate this opportunity to bring the reality of mind control to light, as well as the fact that there is healing from mind control. Mind control, like Mark mentioned, is a sliding scale, and it weaves through society on so many levels, and weaves through the militaries, and the kind of mind control that I experienced was absolute robotic, total mind control on a White House Pentagon level. And yet mind control is affecting people everywhere through information control, because we all formulate our thoughts, opinions, and actions based on what we know. And when that knowledge base is altered, we take the wrong actions. People need to realize that there's a lot more information out there that they need to know, and learn to expand their thinking and embrace the truth, and we can make a positive difference in the world. Awareness is the first step towards positive, necessary change.
That's good. So a lot of your message is in the Access Denied for Reasons of National Security book, details a lot of the ways that one can remedy themselves or pull themselves out of the mire of being brainwashed or mind controlled. Is that right?
Exactly, and it's detailed in a way that people all over the world from all walks of life are applying the healing methods that Mark taught me, such as writing out memory. They're applying that to themselves, and they're healing from varying levels of abuse, trauma, control, and PTSD, which is an extreme. Since I had been programmed on military and NASA installations, I was subjected to much of what the U.S. military and actually militaries everywhere are exposed to condition their minds to point and shoot without any conscious thought, you know, without rationalization, without thinking it out, without any conscience or compassion. You know, all that is bypassed through mind control. And because I was exposed to the same kind of training, the healing that I have would actually apply to all of our military, and many from military special forces, the intelligence community, occult mind control, because there's mind control that has got a grip on people in churches. No matter what the form of mind control is, the same healing methods can be applied and allow people to regain their free thought, reclaim control over their own mind and lives. And that is what I'm excited about. That's why I continue to speak out, because people have a right to think free, because with free thought, there's free will and soul expression, and that's where we have our strength of spirit. Whether mind control is traumatic or whether it's technological, the same thing applies, that our strength of spirit is where we win. That can't be controlled by technology or anything else.
And but in your book, Transformation, in your book, Transformation of America, you detail what can only be described as shocking, very difficult to believe, horrendous sexual psychosexual domination and situations by very well-known politicians of the Bush family, of the Clinton family, and yet you've not experienced any kind of recriminations as far as printing this is concerned. I would assume that if you wrote that about me and that I was doing it, I would sue you for libel. If I believe that not to be true. But you have not experienced any kind of legal blowback from this, have you?
Well, the National Security Act was invoked on our case, and because it was invoked on our testimony for the U.S. Congressional Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence Oversight, because that was invoked, we cannot pursue legal justice through the courts, and they cannot stop us from speaking out. It's absolute fact. It's already proven. Transformation of America is in law libraries worldwide and has been translated into numerous languages. It's an absolute factual document. Because it's factual, it's graphic in detail, and I recommend strongly that people read Access Denied for Reasons of National Security, because they can reference trance throughout their reading. But it gives hope, solutions, healing from mind control, shows how it's being used against the whole population, how our brains work, and that knowledge empowers people to be able to reclaim their lives. And that's what's most important. As far as the people who were part of my victimization, it's simple how I ended up in a simple chain of events, how I ended up on a White House Pentagon level, considering that Gerald Ford was a local politician when my father was caught sending pornography through the U.S. mails, and they're targeting children like myself for mind control. So as Gerald Ford's career escalated, so too did my victimization and mind control. I was subjected to mind control within the Catholic Church, and my father was flown to Boston, Massachusetts, where the Catholic child abuse scandal emanated from that came to light recently.
Okay.
And he was trained there, and then I was taken, like I said, to the NASA and military installations. But look at Gerald Ford's cabinet and who he had in. That same handful of criminals that he had in his cabinet are the same handful of criminals that are behind the scenes pulling the strings of politics today. And he had George Bush Sr. as head of the CIA. He had Dick Cheney as his Secretary of State, Donald Rumsfeld as his Secretary of Defense. And this is the same handful of criminals. These people are eventually going to go away and die off. So it's important that people understand what the agenda is, how mind control works, because that's what's going to keep us free from anyone else just filling their position and subjecting us to more of the same.
You just listed the pretty much architects or some of the architects of the bogus invasion of Iraq. What kinds of things were that you know that Rumsfeld and Cheney and people of that ilk were recently doing?
Well, they know that how trauma affects the human mind, because when trauma occurs, the subconscious mind becomes extremely suggestible at a time like that. So when a trauma happens, like when 9-1-1 happened here and the Twin Towers were hit, that traumatized the whole nation. That is when we lost more of our freedoms in this country, and that is when we were led into war, this so-called war on terror. And that's the kind of thing that they use. And then to create their terrorist justification, you know, then Cheney came up with the tortures at Guantanamo, is extracting information when, in fact, like Mark was saying, too, that trauma leaves people suggestible, and torture makes people say anything that they think their torturers want to hear, and it also makes them programmed where they will say exactly what they're told to.
Kathy, we're running very short on time now, and I just want to ask you, are you a registered voter?
As a U.S. government whistleblower, I cannot be.
You cannot be.
No, I can't. I don't believe in it anyway, because when you follow the money on our electronic voting machines, it's going to go right back to the same handful of criminals that I just mentioned. And I'm looking forward to being able to focus more on the solutions and the healing and what can be done to better our society and reestablish the attitude that people innately have towards peace and compassion.
What would you say to someone who is a registered voter who thinks that probably if she decides to run in 2016 that they would vote for Hillary Clinton? What would you say to that person?
It's not likely. For one, Hillary was exposed and taken out of office as our Secretary of State for criminal activity that included prostitution and drug running. I mean, it's just horrible. That came out in much of the Snowden expose. So she has been removed from office, and to, you know, put her back out there would be to think that people haven't been gathering their strength of spirit, when in fact truth is coming to light. People are realizing more and more this criminal faction that doesn't represent the American people. The American people are aware that there's a peaceful revolution going on now where people just aren't complying anymore, and they're aware that something really bad is going on.
Well, I'd like to thank you and Mark for being agents of change in that regard, as well as being on the show today. I wish we had more time. I wish you the best of luck on Sunday. I will see you there.
Looking forward to it.
And hopefully we can talk again later sometime.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much to both you and Mark.
Thanks for listening to Conspiracy Queries with Alan Park. Please offer comments or complaints by emailing conspiracyqueries@gmail.com or on Twitter @con_queries or at our website, conspiracyqueries.com. Thanks for listening.